Learning how to break free from a spiritual slave mentality, that's coming up today on Bold Steps with Mark Job.
The same compulsion that you had to do bad, now you have the compulsion to do good. Even if you don't want to do good, it's in you. It's driving you to do good. Why? Because you have a new master. He's called the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Now, even if you don't want to be good, you find yourself going towards what is good. Why? Because you are a slave to righteousness.
Welcome to the Friday edition of Bold Steps with Mark Job. Mark is senior pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago and president of Moody Bible Institute. I'm Wayne Shepherd. Well, today we begin our final message in this series on the first six chapters of the book of Romans. And we've been learning a lot about what it means to walk in the freedom from sin. And Mark, in this final message, we're going to be seeing how the Apostle Paul uses the imagery of slavery when it comes to our sin.
Yeah, that's why I've entitled this message, A New Boss, or I could call it A New Master, because in the past, what he says, you were mastered by sin, you were driven by it, but now we have a new master. He's the Holy Spirit, and we are slaves. He uses this, we're slaves to righteousness, mm-hmm. which is an awesome concept. And so, as much as you were driven to do wrong before, now there's a compulsion when you're under the Holy Spirit to do what's right before him.
Well, let's start this powerful message on learning how to break free of sin and its spiritual slavery. Here's Mark Job.
Verse 15, the Apostle Paul is speaking to believers and he says, "What then? Shall we sin? Because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means." This is emphatic. The Apostle Paul is saying, "No way! May it never be. Perish the thought." You see, some people I talk to don't really understand grace. If your understanding of grace is that because you're under grace, it gives you room to sin more, then you have not understood grace. Grace is not a license to sin. You say, "Well, you know I'm not perfect, but, you know, God is merciful. He gives me favor, so I'm just going to sin because I know he's going to forgive me." No, you misunderstood grace. Grace is not the license to sin. Grace is not, "Hey, let me go sin because I'm under grace and I'm not under the law anymore. I don't follow the law, so therefore I can kind of live however I want to live because, hey, I'm under grace." I've heard people say that. I've heard people tell me, "Hey, when they're challenged about living a holy life, they say, 'Well, I'm under grace.'" Praise God for his grace. Hold on. No, you haven't understood grace. Grace is not a license to get high. It's not a license to sleep with your boyfriend. It's not a license to engage in hardcore pornography. Grace is not a license to get drunk on the weekend. That's not grace. That's a perversion of grace. If you really understood grace, you would say, "God has given me so much favor. God has called me a son or a daughter of his before I ever lived like a son or a daughter. God has reached out to me when I was not worth reaching out to. God has loved me when I was unlovable. God has washed me when I was unwashable. God has given me a name when people use my name as a cuss word. God has cleansed me, put my feet on a solid rock. He has showed me so much grace that I don't want to sin against him because he's been so good that I don't want to take advantage of the goodness of God." That's grace. That's grace. In fact, the Bible says that grace teaches us to say no to sin. Grace teaches us to say no. It's like someone that's been on the street and he's been used to stealing and taking advantage of people and he thinks everybody's out to get him. And then someone invites him into their household and he says, "You can sleep in our room where our son used to sleep, and here's clean sheets, and And here's a meal that you can eat. And in his mind, when he first gets into the house, the homeless person thinks, I better get everything I can get because I know how people are. And I want to steal the silverware and get the food and put rolls up my sleeve here because, hey, I want to take advantage of the goodness of this person. But if they understand that this person is really good out of the kindness of their heart and they get out of a slave mentality, then they start thinking, man, I don't want to touch anything that doesn't belong to me. I want to honor the owner of this household. Why? Because they have been good to me. And so Paul says to these believers that have come to know him, he's trying to tell them why now as believers, although they're under grace and not under the law, why they are not to sin anymore. And he says, what then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? By no means. Verse 16. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone to obey him as slaves, that you are slaves to the one whom you obey? Whether you are slaves to sin, which leads to death, or obedience, which leads to righteousness. If you're taking notes this morning, I want you to write this down. This is really talking about how to live free. So he tells us, really, you've been set free, so do not live as though you are under the old master. You see, what Paul tells us is that there is no one that is their own master. You are either a slave to God or a slave to sin. Now, there's a lot of people out there that think that they're the masters of their own life. But I'm going to tell you, you're not a master of yourself. You may think that you master yourself, but that's because the master of your life is pride. So really, the master of your life is sin. You either have to serve God, you either serve the light or you serve darkness. There is no gray place. Last week I taught that you were born in sin. You have a sin nature. From the moment that you were born, you didn't have to be taught to sin. You were born with the propensity to sin. You were born with the predisposition to sin. Since you were old enough, you started sinning, disobeying God, going against God. We have the sin nature. Sin is this powerful, powerful influence in our life that it's a taskmaster. And basically the Bible says that sin is this master that makes you a slave. The imagery that we have here is that sin is a master. It's in our soul. It's in our heart. It deals with us. It bends our will. We have this predisposition to sin, and you cannot even say no to sin because it dominates your life. You are, not only do we sin, but we are sinful and we are dominated by sin. And we cannot stop sinning because the Bible says we are slaves to sin. And when you come to Jesus Christ and receive him as your Savior and Lord and you accept the sacrifice of the cross of Jesus, he liberates you from slavery. And he says you are no longer bound to sin. You are free. The problem is that in our freedom, we haven't always gotten rid of the slave mentality. You see, technically, spiritually, he says we are free. But sometimes, even as believers, we still offer ourselves, offer the members of our bodies to sin. And we, even as believers, we allow ourselves to still offer ourselves to sin. And what Paul says is, whatever you offer yourself to, you become a slave to. It's like I've dealt over the years oftentimes with people that I've had to counsel. I've had in my office abused women. They're married to an abuse, or they live with an abusive boyfriend. And the abusive boyfriend calls them names and beats down their worth and their image and hits them, and then says, it's your fault that I hit you. If you hadn't mouthed off so much, if you would have encouraged me, I would have never hit you. So you got hit because You deserve to be hit. An abusive boyfriend begins to control, begins to limit who you see, who you talk to. Listen, if you're involved with an abusive boyfriend and you're in this church today, your boyfriend does not like the fact that you are here without him. If you're involved with an abusive boyfriend, he doesn't want you to go to church because he thinks you're seeing someone else at church. If you're involved with an abusive boyfriend, he doesn't want God to be Lord of your life because he wants to be Lord of your life. And when Jesus is Lord, that means he's no longer Lord. You know how many women have told me, hey, my boyfriend hates you. I said, I don't even know your boyfriend. I know you don't, Pastor, but you see, I'm coming to church and I'm changing. I'm getting a backbone. I'm being taught that I'm a woman of worth and value, and I can say no, and he can't treat me like garbage. And so, you know, he doesn't like you, and he doesn't like the church. I always want to say, hey, could you bring me a picture of him just in case? Well, if I see him coming down the sidewalk, at least I'm ready for the punch, right? I can duck. So bring me a picture just so I can see who he is. But an abusive boyfriend will make someone feel like you are nothing. You are dirt. You deserve to be called names, and you are a blankety blank this kind of woman, and you are dumb, and you'll never amount to anything, and without me, you are nothing. Good thing I'm in your life, and don't look at me the wrong way. I'll smack you around, and hey, you deserve to be smacked, and you know, I didn't want to do it. You made me do it. An abusive boyfriend will make you feel like you deserve to be treated like a slave. You deserve to be treated like a piece of dirt. And when I talk to a woman that's been abused for a long time, I'll say to a woman, why don't you just leave him? She says, I've thought about it 100 times, and I don't know if I can live without him. You know why? Because a slave master makes you think that you're dependent upon that slave master for life. And some of us look at women that are being abused and we say, how can they be so dumb? Why don't they just walk out? Because, well, if you've never been abused. And oftentimes women start because they're raised in an abusive household, and their father, who's abusive to their mother, preconditions them to abuse. You're raised in an abusive household. You think all women should be treated that way. You think that a way a man loves a woman is an abusive way. And when a man comes around you and tries to treat you the wrong way, you don't even know how to receive his love because you're used to an abusive relationship. Preconditioned to accept abuse. Sin is the same way. Sin is a master that beats you down, that makes you feel like you're nothing, that promises you the world but doesn't deliver, that gets you sucked in and says, come my way, I'll take care of you. And you get into that world and you realize that what you thought would take care of you doesn't take care of you. And so you are beat down like a slave to sin. It becomes your master. It becomes the dominant force in your life. And now your old master has been put in jail, crucified on the cross, held by the power of God. And yet, even though your old master is in jail and you are free, you still have a slave mentality. That's exactly what Paul is saying.
You're listening to Bold Steps with me, Mark Jobe, and we'll return to this message in just a moment. But first, let me tell you about Mark Serra's book, The Road Trip That Changed the World. This is a book that will have you questioning the road ahead, as seen by the signpost of the cross. Jack Kerouac lived a life of contradiction, filled with faith and vice. Kerouac spent his life searching on the road for meaning. In Mark Serra's book, you'll discover the true calling for the road. It's our Bold Step gift, and if you enjoy the storytelling style of Jack Kerouac, you'll want to request this book. Wayne, will you tell them how to get a copy?
Sure. Once again, the book is titled The Road Trip That Changed the World, and you can give us a call at 844-615-7363. This is our Bold Step gift to you today when you give your gift to this ministry. You can also do that by going online to boldstepsradio.org. Well, Mark, let's return to your message. The second half, you're reminding us to keep looking ahead to the road that lies before us.
You're still going back to the mud puddle and drinking of the mud puddle when God is saying, hey, I have great water. You have an abuse mentality, a slave mentality. You're still living like sin is your master when God has become your master. And what Paul is telling us is you have been set free. Why are you living like you are a slave to sin? Why are you living in a sinful way when God has set you free into righteousness? Why are you still obeying the voice of sin when you have been set free from sin? Why are you still listening to the voice of the abusive master when now you have a loving Lord? That's exactly what Paul is saying. Paul is saying you've been set free. I've learned over the years that many people have been set free. It is not the power of God, but it's the power of how you have been trained. I heard one time that circus trainers with the wild animals had their training process, and they would take these elephants, these mammoth beasts that have the power. They weigh tons, and they have the power to turn cars over, and they can drag this enormous amount of weight, and their trunks have this incredible force and power, one of the strongest beasts on the face of this earth. But what trainers do is they'll take a young elephant when he's born, and they will chain the leg of an elephant in a deep, powerful stake with strong chains, and the elephant will try in the beginning to get set free, and it'll yank and pull until their leg is raw, bleeding. And they'll leave him chained like that, weeks and weeks at a time, months at a time. But after several months of being chained like that, the young elephant starts to realize, I can't get free. No matter how much I pull, tug, try to force, all it does is hurt me. And so after a while, when a chain is put on that elephant, they stop trying to get loose because they assume, I can't. And what an elephant trainer does now, they don't need a big stake. All they have to do is put a little stake in the ground that an elephant could easily pull away from, but they don't try to pull away anymore because in their mind they feel like, I can never get away. So a little stake in the ground keeps this huge, powerful elephant in chains because now they have a mentality, if I can never get loose. Oh, is that an imagery for us? For years you've tried to get free. For years, you've tried to pull away from those chains. You haven't been able to. And finally, you come and you are set free by the power of God. Jesus has crucified your old man. He said he no longer dominates your life. But now, you still feel like you're in chain. When you could break the chains, you don't live in that freedom that God has called you to because you have been preconditioned to a mind of slavery. And Paul is telling us, why are you offering your members to sin when you have been set free from sin? So do not live as though you are under the old master. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 19 says, a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. Paul goes on. I love that Jesus is all about freedom, by the way. The prophet said, he has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This was spoken by the prophet Isaiah. Hundreds of years later, Jesus would say, the anointing of God is upon me, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to set prisoners free. Part of the ministry of Jesus is a ministry of liberation, of setting you free to live the life that God really has called you to live. But thanks be to God. Though you used to be slaves to sin, you wholeheartedly obeyed the form of teaching to which you were entrusted. Paul says, you used to be slaves to sin. When I met you, you were a slave. But then, the word of God was preached to you. You heard the word of God. Oh, not just any word, but the word of God. You see, the word of God is powerful and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder the souls and spirit and joints and marrow. The word of God is powerful to set people free. The word of God has power to break chains. And he says, you heard the word of God and you wholeheartedly obeyed it. Now, I believe in order to obey, you have to believe. When you believe the word of God and believe the message of the gospel, you obeyed by repenting and believing and confessing, and you were set free. Listen, you have been, verse 18, you have been set free from sin. Say that out loud with me. You have been set free from sin. You say, well, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying that you don't have to sin anymore. You say, Pastor, well, I do sin. Oh, I know you sin, and I so do I, but you don't have to. There's a difference between sinning and not having to sin. You have been set free, crucified the old man. Sin has been crucified on the cross, so therefore you no longer have to sin. You're not a slave to sin anymore. If you choose to sin now, it's because you choose to sin and your flesh is influenced by the sin, not because you have to sin. You have been set free from sin. And this is what he says. Listen, you have been set free from sin. And listen, I love this. And now you have a new master. You know who your new master is? Your new master is God, and you know what he drives you to? Righteousness. Now you have become slaves to righteousness. What does that mean, slaves to righteousness? You know how you used to have to sin? And even though you didn't want to, you did it anyways? And even you promised, every New Year's, I'm going to stop doing this, but you fell anyways because you were driven by it? He says, now you have become slaves to righteousness. Now you're driven to do good. Now you're driven to pray. Now you're driven to bless. Now you're driven to do good. The same compulsion that you had to do bad, now you have the compulsion to do good. Even if you don't want to do good, it's in you. It's driving you to do good. Why? Because you have a new master. He's called the Holy Spirit living inside of you. Now, even if you don't want to be good, you find yourself going towards what is good. Why? Because you are a slave to righteousness now. When God sets you free and saves you, he doesn't just wipe your slate clean. So you're at zero. You're not a zero. He washes the bad away, but now he puts the good in you.
Listening to Bold Steps and the Bible Teaching of Mark Job, you'll find this message along with all of our previous messages online when you visit boldstepsradio.org. Well, if you've been watching news, either the hourly updates or the nightly broadcast, you might be worried about the direction our world is heading. But here at Bold Steps, we want you to know that while things might seem up in the air and chaotic, God is at work behind the scenes, and he's using ministries like Bold Steps to reach people every day of the week. And when you come alongside us as a bold partner, you'll get to be a part of that blessing as we boldly step up and out against the culture in these times to encourage listeners across the nation with the authentic and timely Word of God. Plus, when you partner with us, you'll get some exclusive perks as well. We've made it easy to sign up online at boldstepsradio.org. Or let us know you want to become a Bold partner by calling one of our team members. Our number, 844-615-7363. And one more thing, you can send your gift in the mail by writing to us at Bold Steps, 820 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. That's 820 North LaSalle, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Now, when you give a gift of any amount to support Bold Steps, we'll say thank you by sending you the book Mark mentioned earlier called The Road Trip That Changed the World. Change how you view your culture, the church, and more importantly, yourself. This book's available at boldstepsradio.org. And then don't forget, Bold Steps is now offering a way for you to get to stepping in your walk with Christ. Sign up for our Bold Stepper Weekly today by visiting boldstepsradio.org. Well, join us again next week for another edition of Bold Steps with Mark Joe. Bold Steps is a production of Moody Radio, a ministry of Moody Bible Institute.